Welcome to the CRE Exchange Podcast, where we deep dive into the global trends and challenges of CRE professionals across all sectors of the commercial real estate industry. We engage with experts in the space to bring you innovative insights into industry practices, opportunities, and challenges to better inform your decisions. This episode is brought to you by Altus Group, a global leader in asset and fund intelligence for commercial real estate.
Welcome, everyone, to another exciting episode of CRE Exchange. I'm Cole Perry, your host and senior market analyst here at Altus Group, a leading provider of asset and fund intelligence. I'm joined by Omar El-Tarai, our U.S. Director of Research. Today, we have another special episode for you. We'll be sharing some of the biggest shifts and surprises from the latest edition of the CRE Industry Conditions and Sentiment Survey. Omar, it's great to be with you.
Glad to be here and to talk about these Q1 results with you. But before we dive into the findings, Cole, do you mind giving our listeners a quick recap of the survey objectives and structure?
Absolutely. So this is conducted by the Altus research team across the U.S. and Canada in an effort to provide some insight into market sentiment, conditions, metrics, and other issues affecting the CRE industry. This iteration of the survey was conducted between mid-January and early February, trying to gauge sentiments during the first quarter 2024. Response characteristics, we had more than 500 from 100 different firms across the U.S. All CRE organization types and functional areas were represented in the survey. Generally, respondents are seasoned professionals. Average number of years across both countries for experience was 18. But let's dive right in. What were some of your big shifts or takeaways you saw from this survey, maybe differences from this and the last?
Certainly. Recession expectations and recession concerns faded really quickly from the last quarter. So while 37% of U.S. respondents indicated that a recession is expected in the next 6 months, this was a significant decrease from the prior quarter when 77% thought near-term recession was in the cards. This overall shift is possibly one of the most significant positive shifts in the survey results from the prior quarter, despite it really not being a CRE-specific question. The largest percentage point shifts were seen from somewhat likely to somewhat unlikely responses. And this shift was seen across all different strategies. Now, while the shift is reflective of overall improved sentiment with the near-term macro backdrop, there was a notable increase in the number of I don't know responses. This was 1% in the Q4 2023 survey, and this moved up to 8% in the Q1 2024 results. And this shift really could be reflective of overall uncertainty about how to interpret the macro climate. Interestingly, the highest percentages of I don't know responses were from the value-added and opportunistic strategies, which are often the fund strategies that I would say are most likely in a beneficial position during market corrections and downturns. Now, while the likelihood of a near-term recession faded, the anticipated shape of the next recession also moderated. So that's another positive. And nearly 90% of the respondents expect the next recession to be shallow. Now, looking north to Canada, while there was a decline in the near-term recession expectations, it was a much smaller decline than it seen in the U.S. And so this left a majority of the Canadian respondents really expecting a recession in the near term.
One of the big positive shifts that I saw that I was looking at this time surrounded capital deployment. The share of U.S. respondents that reported that they were deploying capital or planning to in the next 6 months surged from just 7% last quarter to 25% in the first quarter 2024. Share of respondents focused on simply managing existing portfolios did fall from 57% to 42%. Now, as far as expectations changing over the last 12 months, 45% of respondents did indicate that their expectations for CapEx had increased over the last year, and that was up from 33% last quarter. For cap rates, we saw a little bit of a shift there. The share of those saying that they reported significantly increased expectations versus the last 12 months actually declined 20 percentage points for current cap rates and 13 for exit cap rates. again, suggestive of expectations and deal assumptions stabilizing. But assumptions are assumptions. The environment moves quite quickly. And I think one of those was that the cost of capital might come down. Omar, what did the survey results say about that?
Yeah, so expectations for equity returns have really seen a boost by anticipated declining costs of debt financing. So respondents in our Q1 survey showed that they are expecting debt costs to come down and equity returns to move up. So first, looking at the debt side, respondents' expectations for all-in fixed rate financing over the next year are really range bound between 6.1 and 6.9%. Compared to the prior quarter survey, this range was down by approximately 90 basis points on average across all strategies. These expectations for lower debt costs was accompanied by an increase in net returns to equity. Reported net levered IRRs across the different CRE fund strategies increased by 70 basis points on average compared to the prior quarter. Looking at both debt and equity costs together, the biggest shifts were seen in the Core Plus and the Value Added strategies, where expected debt costs fell by 160 basis points and 60 basis points respectively on the quarter. While anticipated net IRRs increased 160 basis points and 130 basis points for Core Plus and Value Added funds. Again, looking north of the border at the Canadian results, we also saw a similar movement in terms of the expected cost of debt financing moving down and the equity return profile moving up. Canadian results showed that anticipated debt costs dropped by about 60 basis points compared to the prior quarter, boosting net levered IRRs by 200 basis points on average across the strategies and property types. And Cole, I know you looked at capital availability. What was the takeaway there?
Yeah, not only are folks expecting debt cost to come down, but they're also expecting debt availability to be up. So we saw that expectations actually improved dramatically across a number of debt sources in the U.S. So while expectations for availability from securitizations is low, their net availability has increased quite a bit, improved 20 percentage points on net from minus 46% in Q4 to minus 26% in the first quarter of 24. We also saw a large shift in net expectations for debt funds. These did have kind of a positive net availability expectation in the previous quarter at plus 6%, but they shifted towards plus 26% over the same period. However, much like the last quarter, very few respondents expect banks to return to CRE lending within the next 12 months. More than half of U.S. respondents state they expect banks to not be available at all, or they expect them to not be very available. This does contrast with Canadian respondents. They expect banks to be among the most available sources of debt. And I think we've covered this on a podcast a few times, the Canadian bank environment quite a bit different than it is here. What were you seeing on the pricing front?
Certainly. Competition in the U.S. remains quite steady, while the perception of pricing across property types has improved over the prior quarter. Similar to the last quarter, nearly one in four participants from the survey results described the current market competition as fierce, and a wide majority, or 72% of respondents, described the current level of competition as balanced. And while a significant portion of survey respondents still characterize the majority of the major property types as being overpriced, this characterization fell by 21 percentage points compared to the prior quarter. Taken together, the continued level of competition, coupled with the growing perception of more fairly priced assets, is an improvement over the fourth quarter results. It's also important to note that the perception of widespread overpricing has come down. And while real estate valuations continue to be an area of focus and arguably a debate, the shift seen in the Q1 results suggests that the valuation corrections are catching up to the industry perception. And what were you seeing in terms of operating environment?
This was quite interesting as well. I'd say a similar percentage of U.S. respondents, so 86% last quarter versus 92% this current quarter, reported that they do expect the coming months to be challenging. But the magnitude of challenges definitely shifted under the hood. So the percentage of respondents who expect the operating environment to be, quote, extremely challenging, plummeted 15 percentage points to just 13%. Many of the respondents did instead shift to saying they thought the environment would be only somewhat challenging. So the fraction there increased from 64 to 73%. You did see a similar trend in Canada. The numbers responding that they thought the competition would be business as usual was up from 13% to 7%, the operating environment, sorry. And the figures for extremely challenging actually ticked down from 19 to 13%. Omar, do you think the results actually reflect something interesting in the transaction environment?
Yeah, so participants really signaled increased transaction intentions in the near term, with smaller and mid-sized firms signaling that they may be the most active in the market. As a quick note, when we mention, it's usually when we're phrasing questions around 6 months, respondents indicated that they anticipate market activity to pick up over the coming 6 months, with 80% of the participants anticipating transacting, so that's either buying, selling, or both. And the smaller to mid-sized institutions, or those with $500 million to a billion in CRE assets, plan to be the largest net buyers, while the largest institutions, or those with more than $5 billion in CRE AUM, are anticipating to be net buyers as well, but by a significantly narrower margin. The proportion of the largest institutions who said that they don't anticipate transacting in the near term and will be holding increased by more than 5 percentage points compared to the Q4 2023 results. That's the largest increase across the different firm sizes for shifting into the hold camp. Also, it's worth noting that in the prior quarter, we saw a trend of larger firms really selling into the smaller firms who were planning on buying. But that didn't hold in the Q1 results data. Elevated near-term transaction intentions were seen above the border in Canada as well, as 80% of the respondents in Canada indicated that they have intent to transact in the next 6 months. That's up 13 percentage points from the prior quarter. And now turning attention to priority issues, what are some of the key takeaways from the recent results?
Yeah, I think a lot of the issues we already covered are wrapped up in this particular question. We ask folks to rank their priority issues, what'll be a top concern over the next 6 months. And similar to the previous quarter, cost of capital and credit availability are definitely still at the top of the list in the U.S., sorry, over the next 12 months. 64% and 62% cite those respectively. These concerns were closely followed by operating costs, insurance costs, and leasing and tenant retention, which are all nearing 50% or exceeding 50% of respondents. They also saw large spikes over the previous quarter. On the flip side of that, development costs and inflation, which I think very intertwined, did see very large drops relative to the fourth quarter 2023. However, they are still top priorities of more than one in four respondents. Now, Omar, I know we actually asked a couple of new questions this time. Do you want to give us an explainer on some of those?
Yeah. So in the Q1 survey, we did launch a number of new questions on ESG or environmental, social, and governance. And the reason being is we feel that this is a topic that's been at the center of, I would say, significant debate and has really fueled some strong opinions across the industry. And as a result, we felt it's worth including and really monitoring in a survey of this type. And while we don't have quarter-on-quarter comparisons, the responses in the U.S. really showed that participants feel as though there is still much needed before ESG will be widely adopted across the industry. Specifically, U.S. participants signaled that investor demand and improved data are really needed before any sort of widespread ESG adoption. Nearly two in three U.S. respondents, or 62%, reported that greater investor or market demand are necessary before they really take ESG considerations into their investing and capital allocation decisions. This is a belief that was shared by more than 80% of the firms that have more than $5 billion in CRE AUM. Improved data quality was the second highest need or that was identified by the participants of the survey. And while the U.S. results really show that there's a lot more needed before ESG can really be incorporated widespread into capital allocation decisions, there was a pretty stark difference in Canada. So compared to the Canadian results, the U.S. data indicated that the U.S. CRE industry remains much more skeptical of a full-scale adoption of ESG considerations, as more than one in five U.S. respondents indicated that they don't believe ESG will ever be fully incorporated into CRE, with this belief really being the most common amongst the smaller firms. And we just went through a lot of the kind of key takeaways from the different elements of the survey, but summarize it. What were some of the big takeaways that you had when as you were going through all the data?
Look, I'm pretty sure our listeners could have caught on to this, but I think my biggest takeaway and perhaps one of the biggest surprises to me was that there's a remarkable amount of optimism in these results. Just think about some of the stuff we've covered, the primary focus in the next 6 months, shifting towards deploying capital. There's a wide improvement of expectations for capital availability, particularly debt, which has been pretty troubled. More than half of the funds and firms in the $1 to $5 billion exposure range, where we know like a bulk of the bulk of real estate capital is, say they're going to expand the number of markets in which they operate. The operating environment's expected to be less challenging. The list just goes on. A lot of optimism baked into these results. But I would say, and I want to get your thoughts on this, that a lot of these expectations, I believe, were predicated on a possible March Federal Reserve interest rate cut. And we've got a few days left, but we know that that's pretty much off the table. Looks there might not be one in June either. So I'll be interested to see if this was on the table by the time folks took the survey. I think there were also some other stories that popped up in there, the kind of trouble at New York Community Bank. So I think that might have spooked some folks off or may change the perceptions of bank capital availability here in the short term. But I get the impression that a lot of these figures will snap back in the quarter two survey. What do you think?
Yeah, I fully agree with you on those points. And I'd add one element to the kind of key takeaways, and that was the super high intent to transact in the near term. And that's over the next 6 months. So with 8 out of 10 participants saying that they have intent or really expect to transact, either buy, sell, or both in the next 6 months is that's a very noticeable stat. And while we haven't seen that materialize really in the transaction data quite yet, there still is time in that 6 months, but I was still blown away by this indication of deal appetite. While I think it was certainly helped by the overall improved perception of the macroeconomy, I think it's worth watching going forward. And I'll be watching to see if it has staying power and if it's actioned and the transactions really do take place, or if it is really a sensitive sentiment that is contingent upon the other expectations coming true, such as cost of capital. And so this is something that I'm a little bit skeptical of it materializing, but it definitely jumped out as I think really one of the key takeaways. Was there anything that surprised you while you were going through the data?
There was one big surprise I wanted to call out. And just as a reminder, and for those who are going to take a look at these results, we do ask a question about expectations for property type performance. So we ask respondents to bucket property types into best and worst performing. So we capture the extremes on either end there. And so there's a net figure that'll be the percentage that think a particular property type will be best performing minus those who think it will be worst. And then we reallocate that as a net percentage. And this time, a lot, sort of the general pecking order stayed the same, but expectations for multifamily and for self-storage plummeted. Survey participants did expect industrial to be the best performing property type. That I sort of expected to see. Office was really universally derided as the worst or expected to be the worst over the next 12 months. Retail did overtake multifamily and self-storage in terms of net favorability because they dropped so much. So the net sentiment fell 31 percentage points to plus 16% for multifamily and fell 23 percentage points for self-storage to just plus 10. I think those were massive, really interesting shifts because I think we've seen a lot of sort of media discussion of those two property types. There's been a lot of talk of multifamily distress. There's been a lot of discussion about all the new supply of self-storage and sort of the waning institutional investment in that sector. But I thought these were really big. The environment doesn't change overnight for these property types. It takes a while for a lot of this supply to come online. Rent growth doesn't turn negative overnight. But this, I thought, was really interesting. What were some of the, do you have any big surprises you wanted to call out?
Yeah. And a few of your comments touched on it. I was quite surprised by the speed at which the sentiment shifted between the fourth quarter 2023 survey and the Q1 2024 surveys. There were other massive swings in sentiment seen in the macroeconomy, broader capital markets. And because commercial real estate is really a reflection of the real economy and capital markets, a shift does make sense. But when comparing the two quarters data, the shift was really from a only gray skies ahead sentiment in the fourth quarter to blue skies with maybe some clouds in Q1. And it was really a major shift in a very short period of time. And I'm surprised by how quick and significant this swing was. And while sentiment can swing quickly, there are elements that are inherent with commercial real estate, which just simply don't adjust that quickly. Whether you're looking at timelines for projects, implementing business plans, executing transactions, to the portfolio metrics, performance, and returns, whether it's at asset level or a portfolio level. And you can call me skeptical, but CRE is really not the fastest moving asset class. And so curious or skeptical to see how these survey results and the collective industry sentiment that this survey measures really holds up in the coming quarters. I'm curious to see if these expectations will come to fruition, hold and get stale, or, you know, swing again.
Look, we've only been talking for a little over 20 minutes, but there's a lot of other data in these two reports. How can folks access them if they'd like to?
Yeah, so the easiest way will be to see the link in the show notes. Otherwise, you can find it on the Altus site or simply search Altus CRE Conditions and Sentiment Survey in your browser. The link will take you to the survey homepage where you can find past survey results and sign up to participate in future surveys. Again, because this is a quarterly survey, it's open to all CRE practitioners. We highly encourage you to participate because it will help make the findings more robust and more useful. And if you do participate, you can add your email and we will send you the detailed data files that support the survey results.
Well, I'll definitely look forward to the next iteration of the report. And I look forward to sharing this quarter's findings with other folks in other mediums other than the podcast. But Omar, I think that is all the time we've got today. I do look forward to speaking with you on another episode of CRE Exchange. Thanks.
Thank you for listening to the CRE Exchange podcast powered by Altus Group. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave a 5-star review and be sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode. This episode is brought to you by Altus Group, a global leader in asset and fund intelligence for commercial real estate. At Altus, we bring together capabilities across technology, analytics, valuations, tax, and development advisory services. We are guided by bold thinking, integrity, and inclusivity, partnering with CRE professionals to maximize opportunities with exceptional service experience. Find out more at altusgroup.com.